Happy Monday morning, Cyclone Nation. What's going on? It's the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. My name is Chris Williams, joined, as we try and do each and every Monday morning, by Rob Gray, who just took a drink of water. You could probably hear it there.
Sorry.
It's all good. And Jared Stansberry's back. He was on a hiatus last week because Rob, due to the weather, had kid duty. And because of that, you kicked Jared out of the podcast last week. How do you feel about that? Because it's a big opportunity for Jared to be able to come here and talk with distinguished journalism veterans like us on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast. There's a late start at Ankeny. You text me and you go, hey, probably just have to tell Jared he can't come on today.
Yeah, I'm going to chalk this up to coach's decision.
Jared, how did you feel when you found out that Rob didn't want you on the podcast last week?
I felt slighted. I was really questioning where I stood here at Cyclone Fanatic. I thought Rob wanted to get rid of me.
But I sent you a backup text, and I made you like a good coach would do.
Yeah.
And I picked you back up.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here today, man.
Thank you.
We missed your analysis last week.
Oh yes, I'm.
I had no other options. Not only did I have to do that, but of course I'm driving to Lawrence on less than perfect roads.
I'm glad you made it. Yeah. Did you like how I was giving our Twitter followers updates on your status?
Like,
on your
like I was wearing 3-inch thick glasses and clutching the steering wheel.
We were worried.
And my arms are up there.
Had people texting me and tweeting at me. Is Rob okay?
Is the old guy getting up there?
Is Rob all right? Is his Prius going to make it?
Don't worry. I've got a blanket in back and emergency fire. So I got all kinds of great stuff back there.
It's good to have you guys here today. It's the third big Monday game in a row for the Cyclones. The big Monday grind is a very real thing for everybody. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the players, when it comes to – I saw Iowa State Sports Information Director Matt Schultz tweeted out something. And I feel it too because we – when there's a big Monday game, we're riding on Sunday. We're – you know what I mean? There's just the one-day turnaround, whatever. But I think that it's – it's a proper way to start the podcast today because it's a very real situation for Iowa State where the second week in a row you go home game and then two, probably the second toughest road game of the year, probably.
Based on how Oklahoma's playing now, absolutely.
It's not a daunting atmosphere in Norman. In fact, it's pretty lame.
We talked about that on Thursday.
I get the Thunder draw away from Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, but you got like top 25 teams, man.
Yeah. And Oklahoma's such an entertaining team to watch year in and year out, too. I mean,
Lon Kruger.
Since Lon's gotten back there, and the fact that, you'd just forego that, we got the Pelicans tonight, Oklahoma City.
Is that not the worst?
I know Anthony Davis is a big draw, but still.
Is there a worse nickname in sports than the Pelicans?
It's pretty bad.
Actually, I kind of like it.
Utah Jazz.
What do you like
New Orleans
about the
Jazz
Pelicans?
Was perfect.
Well, I like the way that them giving up the Hornets name allowed Charlotte to be the Hornets again.
It's a class move in your part.
I think it was just a good all-around move. And then I think the Jazz actually need to give New Orleans their name back.
Yeah.
That needs to happen.
That's really lame. The Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to imagine Miles Davis, dropping out.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuanced like NBA talk right here that I have. Speaking of the Hornets, this is a fun story that will relate to Iowa State fans. So our friend Travis Hines of the Ames Tribune, he came to the Cyclone Fanatic radio show on Monday, and Travis has this Charlotte Hornets stocking cap. He's very proud of it. I get it. I used to have a Canada stocking cap that I'd wear. And I was very proud of it. I'd wear it around all the time because people, I never seen one of those before, So Travis, we actually had the conversation before we went on the air about how he's probably like the only person in Iowa who owns one of these things. At the end of the night, we're getting ready to leave Benchwarmers. Dude walks in with the exact same Charlotte Hornets stocking cap on. It was epic.
He was visibly disturbed. He'd gone to great lengths to procure that.
He bought it on eBay or Amazon.
Amazon, I think.
Yeah, it was a well thought out purchase for Hines, and this guy just shattered all of the hard work and all of Travis's dreams to be the only man in Iowa with that hat.
Maybe that guy did the same thing though. Maybe he worked just as hard to acquire
They just need to form like a brotherhood.
I think that, but do you really need to form one though? I feel like they already have one.
You should have done a selfie. You should have done a selfie with the guy.
With Hines and that guy in the Charlotte Hornets hat. Yeah.
With Hines just looking angry. Just so angry at the guy.
Yeah. Which I don't think would have been hard to do because I think he was naturally angry. Before we move on, I want to give a shout out to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamencenter.com. Jared, when's the last time you got your physical?
When I was a freshman in college.
Oh, so that's not too long ago.
Nope.
You're a man that's in pretty good health, I think.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, I'm not sick very often, so.
I tell you what, though, Rob. So you just moved to Ankeny, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that they got the urgent care? The Iowa Clinic had just opened up not too long ago.
Sure.
In Ankeny.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's fantastic. I mean, what?
No, I'm just saying.
Anytime I feel like getting a physical or I urgently need care, boom.
I'm saying, no, but for real, because the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Something happens at like 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
What you going to do? You want to go and wait in that the mercy line and wait 2 hours to be seen?
No, sir.
I'd like to go to the Iowa Clinic and get right in. So check them out. It's a sweet facility. That's where I go and see Dr. Nicholson at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. And the phone number there, if you want to request an appointment for the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, is 515-875-9801. I'm going to read that number to you one more time. 515-875-9801. Clones are, depending on where you look, 5.5 to 6.5 point underdogs tonight at Oklahoma. I don't. Let's backtrack to Saturday. Is Iowa State's loss at Texas Tech 2 weeks ago not one of the worst losses in Iowa State history?
Definitely.
Now that we look back.
Not one of the worst?
Yeah. Convince me how it's not one of the worst losses in Iowa State history.
The only way I can say is what kind of effect did it have? Did it have an effect, a cattle, you know?
That loss is going to keep Iowa State from, like, a share of the Big 12 title,
well,
in my opinion.
I think you're probably right. But at the same time, it regular season Big 12 title means nothing. We know what their goals are in March. I'm going to agree that it is. but if, as Fred Hoiberg has said, that's really the last time, a little bit during Kansas too, but, you know, on the defensive end. But if they're not talking about the lapses, the one step back, the learning experiences, once you get to the second half of the conference season into it and go down the stretch, and that was really that quote-unquote wake-up call that got them playing mostly good basketball and playing together.
I just rolled my eyes at Rob, by the way, everybody. No, you make a valid point. I'm just tired of the wake up calls.
That's
I share.
Yeah.
That,
no,
that.
You make a valid point. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I was just trying to be devil's advocate. I mean, if it leads,
that's good.
If it
that's
leads
good. That's
the,
good radio.
But I don't know. Yeah, it is a terrible. It's a head scratching loss. You just wonder how they do it. But teams, you know, you could go and play. We see it in exhibition season sometimes where. Teams that don't have any business playing. We saw it in Baylor when they were playing that NAIA Division II team. Mm-hmm. That team was up 9 points on them, I think. You know,
look at
10,
Baylor
11,
now.
12 minutes into the game. And, you know, guys can ball, you know, at all kinds of levels, and they get a little bit of confidence. Like Texas Tech got tons of confidence by getting all those open looks early in that game. You know, they feel good about themselves, and they can sustain that.
But that was one of the – what we saw on Saturday – was one of the worst Big 12 teams I've ever seen in Hilton.
Atrocious. Yeah.
I think it just shows how out of their minds they played that first time. I mean,
yeah, you're probably right.
And you like before that first matchup, people talked, this team's not any good. They don't have anybody that's any good. And like Rob said, they're obviously good players. They're playing Division I basketball for a reason. And if you just let them get that little ounce of confidence, you never even know what could happen from there.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, the 500 people that were in Lubbock that day got mm-hmm. fired up. And then there was that whole – they had all that positive energy flowing, and Iowa State was the opposite, and there's all the pressure on you. It just – that – you're right, Rob, about the Big 12 regular season title, whoopee. But to me, it means something in the sense that Iowa State as a program is gunning for Kansas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's more of a – what does it mean? Well, does a banner mean anything? Eh. what it means, though, is like another step in the program trying to get to where I think Hoiberg wants this thing to be. That's what it – now, at the end of the day, come March, it means nothing.
No, that's but very fair, though. And then obviously a loss like that damages the resume. I mean, that's the one that when they pop it up on the screen, bad losses. Well,
that's it.
There it is.
It's really South Carolina may be considered a bad loss.
Yeah,
they haven't
2-7, I think, in the SEC.
Yeah, that's probably a bad loss.
That's a great point, though, on Kansas. I think, though, to really stamp yourself as the team that's their primary rival, even though Bill Self says it's always going to be Kansas State, given the in-state thing, and Iowa State's become a nice kind of rival, you know, secondary to that, you got to win it outright. You got to dethrone them to really say, all right, it's on. You know, between us and Kansas.
What's up, punks?
something along those lines, yeah.
Well, so my take on Saturday, and I wrote about this a lot on Sunday, but I don't take – I'm sorry. I can't put too much stock in holding Texas Tech to 4-20 from three-point range. It's great. Now, I'm not, like, being Debbie Downer here. You'd much rather Iowa State respond like they did – and they play, their closeouts were better. Everything was better on Saturday. You'd much rather them do that, and you give them credit. You tip the hat. But Texas Tech's bad. And, you know, I watched Tubby Smith in his post game, and like, that's a guy who just, to me, like, he's given up. Like, that, he's just like a beaten, defeated individual is what I saw out of Tubby Smith. That's a bad team. So I'm not going to take too much stock in it. The good thing about this scenario is now we learn tonight.
Yeah.
You know, now we learn tonight because they can't take another step back tonight at Oklahoma.
Oh.
That's the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to. Good. I don't even think they took a step forward. They did what we all expected them to do with a ton of motivation. They had all the reason in the world to be motivated on Saturday. What do you do tonight?
Well, I think Oklahoma's a problem in so many ways because, A, they didn't have to double team like they do at times, which obviously made it harder to close out at times because the guy's got to go back to their guy. I mean, a guy like Spangler, the way he operates around the free throw line, he had a 6-assist game a while back, I think against Oklahoma State, and I mean, he's scoring the ball now, although he's only at 11 points average, but he's been above that a lot of times recently. I just think they're going to have, I mean, the urgency that that Hoiberg talks about is going to be that much. It's got to be that much greater, and you know, because they will be doubling a little bit more, and guys just have to get off those screens. We know, like Hoiberg said, also they run a million actions, and you know, Buddy Hield, he gets hot. I mean, look out. I mean, Cousins is a good player. I just love the way Oklahoma's playing right now. I mean,
I love that team.
They're really good. Now they looked like they were really good last year too, and kind of flamed out in the tournament, but I don't know. It's going to be really tough. I think the key for Iowa State here is, I know fans wouldn't feel good about this, but I think they should feel good about themselves if they go there and play well and play the way that they know that they can play. And if they get beat by 5 or 3 or whatever happens, if Oklahoma just plays a better game by virtue of being at home or the fact that they're a little bit hotter team, you've still made some progress. Doubling or going back to that Big 12 regular season title, what it means. But, you know, a win would be absolutely huge because we've completely then canceled out that Texas Tech game, in my opinion, winning in West Virginia and at Oklahoma.
Solid analysis right there, Rob.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I just said.
I agree with you.
Just blacked out real quick.
Let's go to I think the best topic as we turn the page and really focus towards tonight, and it's the starting lineup. Fred's in a rough spot. So when we all at the beginning of the game, we all thought that, oh, he just made the move and finally started Jameel McKay, which was shocking to me because, excuse me, I've been hearing in the background that wasn't going to happen. So I was really surprised. Then we learned that Bryce and Abdul Nader were late to shoot around or whatever. It wasn't a big deal, Rob. Fred didn't seem upset about it at all.
No, he even said that happened to him once and didn't start again.
The immediate narrative that I was worried about was people, oh, Bryce is a cancer, and all. That wasn't the case. Like, and he played great. He had 5 assists. Everybody responded well to that. So again, keep in mind what I just told you guys. I've been told that wasn't going to happen. That they wanted to keep Jameel as the sixth man. Fred's in a predicament now because Jameel produces. He went 7 for 7. He was ridiculous. Bryce DeJean Jones responded well.
Mm-hmm.
Very well. Here's my fear. If you... So you need to reward McKay in the sense that he did what you asked him to do, but I don't know if Bryce is going to respond that well if you bench him.
For good.
Yeah, and yeah. Fred's whole deal is it's all about who finishes the game, not who starts it. He says it all the time. Says it in the offseason, whatever. And I truly mean that. If you watched last year, for instance, Matt Thomas started a lot of games where he was playing like 16, 17 minutes. We've seen this throughout the Hoiberg tenure. But he's in a rough spot. And I think tonight, like if Bryce starts, which it's 9 o'clock right now. If you were to ask me right now who starts, I would say Bryce DeJean Jones will start because I think Fred knows the nuances of his team a little bit better. I think Jameel's a better guy mentally mm-hmm. to prepare for being a sixth man than Bryce DeJean Jones is. What do you do, Jared? I'm giving you Fred Hoiberg's job for the night. Who you start?
I mean, you guys know I'm a big Jameel McKay guy.
You are. You like tall guys.
Yeah, I'd go with him. I think the way that with Bryce bringing him off the bench, I like the change up between him and Naz. They're such different players.
Yeah.
And you get Naz, who's more of the shooter and just kind of just can make plays for you. And then you bring in Bryce, and then he slashes into the rim. He can shoot a little bit. And it's just that change up kind of in the guard core that I like to see personally. And then I just like McKay down low. He's just a stud. I mean,
well, he's a game changer. Yeah. I mean, he's totally changed the way Iowa State plays basketball.
Right. And I love, when you have a guy that can run right down the middle of the floor and consistently score a basket just running down the middle of the floor, you got to keep that on the floor.
You've played basketball at multiple levels, though.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, you've played with, I know all of your old teammates,
yeah.
with a guy who, like, starting means something to him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if he's not starting, maybe he hangs his head a little bit. Maybe he it's all about the wins and losses. That was the DeJean Jones quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like his tone. I was not crazy about his tone when he said that after the game.
Well, I will say this. He was very short, very terse in his answers, but I'm putting myself in his shoes. He's not part of the availability post game. He's not on the radio show. We all ask him, and I think he knows what he's going to be asked.
You guys hammered
him. Hey, you didn't start. How are you going to respond to that? What if it happens again?
Was that the first question? It wasn't about his 5 assists?
It was pretty much right away, okay, so what happened today and how did you react to that? I thought he reacted very, very well, but he also knew by virtue of being late that was going to be the case. If it just becomes a coach's decision beyond, okay, I'm going to do this because it's what we do, you know, you're not going to start this one game because of this, but instead, you know, I agree with you that – perhaps it gets into that a little bit, but back to putting myself in his shoes, that's a tough tone to start out with. And I think that he handled it pretty well. He just didn't say much. He didn't say anything bad.
No.
He said, you know, hey, we won by 40. That's what matters to me. And he knows he's going to get his. Now, the problem is, I think there is a little bit of, like you mentioned to Jared, there are guys that if they're not in that starting lineup, somehow they feel like they've failed to some degree.
Matt Thomas was like that last year.
Yeah. And if that's the way that he is, you know, going, you know, we'll see going forward if in fact McKay remains a starter, how he responds. But he did respond great in that game. And I like what Jared said about the way he gives him that change up. I mean, he was so good in passing the basketball. He had 2 assists, I think, on the first couple possessions down the floor. He got one to McKay. And that's the thing that struck me the most. Those guys on the floor together were great, too. So, I mean, it's not going to matter as long as egos aren't an issue in play.
But that's not the case. I mean, at this level, they're always egos. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how great of a clubhouse you've got. They're always egos. And I think if it's purely, if it's purely a basketball decision, Jameel McKay should start.
Yeah.
But I also think tonight, if Bryce starts, we're going to see – you know, the Psycho and Fanatic Twitter feed's going to blow up. And I wrote yesterday, I think this is truly a case, and this isn't always the case, but this is truly a case where fans should just be like, all right, probably should trust the head coach.
Yeah.
Because he knows the nuances of this team. There are certain guys. I mean, Scott Kristofferson was that way. He needed to start, and it wasn't he was a selfish kid. He needed to start like that for him to be zoned in and be the Scott Kristofferson you needed him to be. He needed to be in that starting lineup.
There are guys that just aren't. You're just not a bench guy. You just don't have the mentality to be a guy that comes.
Not everybody's Tyrus McGee and Naz Long, where you can, you know, those guys are fine with that.
Yeah,
I don't think Dustin Hoge would take well to being a six man. I mean, I think Dustin Hoge, if you put his skill set, is a perfect six man.
Yeah,
like the energy, what he, but I don't think he'd react very well to it. But Jameel McKay, man, I don't know about you, Rob and Jared, but the more I'm around him, I'm impressed with him as an individual.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's, again, another guy who says all the right things, you know. Asked if he'll start again.
Sincerely, too.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
You can tell if a guy's feeding you BS. He's very sincere.
A lot of very genuine guys on that team. And, of course, Monte Morris, we know how he'll always tell it like it is. But McKay's the same way. And, I know that some people have been all over Bryce DeJohn-Jones, but I've always been impressed with the way he handles himself, too. I mean,
yeah, and
he says the same thing over and over again. That either means he doesn't want to say anything else or he really means it. And I'm going to believe that he really means it.
I think there's an aspect of this, too, where now that we've done this long enough with this the transfer era, the graduate transfers I'm starting to pick up on from Jake Anderson, the original one, you know, all these guys. The guys who have only been in Ames for, like, that's their year, they show up, they play. DeAndre Kane, Bryce DeJohn-Jones. I think as Iowa Staters and Central Iowans, we are all so accustomed to the way it is here. People are nuts, and that's a good thing. They're passionate about – that's what makes Hilton Coliseum one of the top home court advantages in college basketball. It's what makes Cyclone Fanatic go. But it's very difficult, I think, for a guy like DeAndre Kane – or a guy like Bryce DeJohn. Bryce DeJohn-Jones came from UNLV. How many people in Vegas care about UNLV basketball?
Unless it's 1990 again, yeah. Zero.
And even then.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, as I was six, but I can't imagine that they were selling out every night when Larry Johnson was balling at UNLV. No. You know what I mean? So, like, I think they come here, and all this media attention, going back to what you said, Rob, like, the guy plays a really solid game, 5 assists, 2 for 2, off the bench for the first time. His energy was great. Great body language. Mm-hmm. And he gets hammered by 5-6 reporters after the game for just because he didn't start. You know what I mean? If that's at Vegas, he's on his way home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think DeAndre got that too. It's like, you're at Marshall. Nobody gives a crap. You come here. You're this – you're a pro athlete in the minds of these fans and the media attention. Like, our Central Iowa media coverage of Iowa State basketball, compared to when I was doing CycloneNation.com back in the day and there were like 4 of us at practice. I mean, there's like 20 reporters sometimes at these practices, which is great. It's great for Iowa State. It's great for everybody that you have a program that's worth that. But, you know, I think it is a big-time culture shift. So when Will Clyburn and Royce White and those guys, I mean, they're all sitting out and they're watching all this. They get accustomed to it. These graduate transfers, it's a hard situation to throw a young man into. So I'll play devil's advocate, and I'll have Bryce DeJohn-Jones's back there. And he's, I think, exceeded expectations in that sense of just how he's been to work with and how he's handled himself.
No, I totally agree. I think in this case, we're all devil's advocates on that one. And I mean, unless Jared has a different take, I mean, he's been – look, I remember when he was recruited, people immediately think DeAndre Kane – well, DeAndre Kane was a singular talent within Fred's system. He was perfect for it, and he was one of my favorite players.
You told me
in the system
when you were eating glazed carrots the other day.
Oh yeah,
at Hickory Park.
Yeah,
Rob ordered. We went to Hickory Park.
I prefer raw, but all
he ordered
glazed.
He ordered glazed carrots,
and only a turkey sandwich. And only a turkey sandwich.
Jared, too. If you and your boys were going to Hickory Park and somebody ordered glazed carrots, what would you do?
Well, they'd hear about it for quite a while.
Yeah.
You'd admire their eyesight. You'd admire their eyesight.
It's a total chick move.
I don't think we've ever even had carrots go through the door of our apartment, so.
You don't even, like, dip them in ranch or anything?
No.
We
don't even have any vegetables.
You guys just do Doritos, baby.
Yeah.
When you guys get a little bit older, you'll realize that occasionally your body and brain requires nutrients.
I've learned that. I turned 30 and everything went to hell for me. I'm not kidding. I was showing Hines.
I bet you make up these little foo-foo smoothies at home every now and then. You just don't walk around with them. You just kind of, you're dropping in.
I do a shake a day for a meal. I try and replace a meal with a protein shake every day. Before the game the other day, I was Travis Hines is who I was sitting next to, and I pulled out my little, like, pill caddy. You know, like the, like, 70-year-old men have, and I popped.
See, I don't even have one of those.
Oh, yeah.
So you got me there.
I popped, like, 6 pills, and Travis is like, my God, what is wrong with you? I'm like, well, it's been a little bit stressful around the Williams house lately. And anywho, here I am. So we're all on the same page,
yeah.
I think. I say start Bryce. You guys, I think, are leaning towards McKay, though.
That's purely from a basketball sense. I mean,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Purely basketball, you start Jameel McKay.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
You're not wrong. Jared, you're taking you have the opinion that I would say 90% of our listeners have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I did not like, and I think we've been fair to Bryce Dejon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
We've explained why that was weird. His reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was almost as if he was just annoyed, like that he didn't think he should have been punished for being late. That's how I took it. We'll see.
Perhaps, yeah. We'll see.
But he responded well. If he would have gone out there and turned it over 6 times and, played hero ball, he didn't do that.
Nope.
So tip of the hat to Bryce Dejon Jones.
2-3, absolutely. And I think Fred, I mean, this is where, everybody's an expert, but. I mean, here's a guy that played. He knows ego management. He knows who needs to start. He knows
that's why you
who can
trust
come
your
off the bench, and he's shown that.
Yep.
With Tyrus Megan, who's a guy who's happy to do that. McKay's been happy to do that. Some guys, and as you said, Chris, it's not necessarily just I've got to feel like I'm one of the guys, one of the five. It's just how they adjust to the flow, and some guys. As you said, with the Scott Kristofferson as an example, need to be out there from the very beginning to feel like they're into it. But this is a great changeup for Bryce Dejon Jones, too, because he was so good offensively early in the year, went through that long cold spell, and he's been sort of back, really ultra efficient, 4 of 6, game after game, it seems like. Kansas was a tough one, came on late, but. I think, you trust him on that one, and I could go either way. I mean, I kind of see what you're saying. You go ahead and start him, not to upset the whole deal, but you also have in the back of your mind that, hey, if they struggle with him starting again.
Yeah. I just don't think there's a – you don't run the risk of losing Jameel McKay. You do run the risk of losing Bryce Dejon Jones.
Yeah,
and they're both vitally important to your future.
I just really like – this is, once again, just from a basketball sense, but
– that's good.
When you have Naz Long in the starting lineup, and if you take him out and put in Matt Thomas, you're going from throwing your fastball to throwing your fastball.
Yeah.
When you take out Naz and bring in Bryce Dejon Jones, that's going from throwing your fastball to throwing a Bugs Bunny changeup.
Yeah.
Because the way that they play is just so much different.
The old Tim Wakefield knuckler.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're a guy that has to switch from guarding Naz Long to guarding Bryce Dejon Jones, it's so much different that would just be – and then to keep alternating them throughout the game, I don't know.
No.
Jared,
that's a great point.
It's like Flip Saunders sitting with us today. This is great.
Yeah.
Hand to Jared.
No.
Bam.
That's fantastic. I think that can happen, whether he starts or not to some degree. But, no, I mean, it is – that is spot on because
– if they start Bryce and they have one of those slow starts, they get down like 10-1, it's over. Who cares about his ego?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean –
yeah, if he turns it over two or three times and it is, running it into traffic. I don't know. I think he's fairly locked in. That starting as Kansas notwithstanding, I think he was 0-for-9 to start and then came on and had those 14 points in the last 7 minutes or whatever.
I didn't hate him against Kansas, though. He was active.
He
didn't take terrible shots. I mean, there were a couple.
They just weren't falling.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that one time he went with SC in 2010 was in his head a little bit.
I don't like
to redeem that, but.
Well, usually you don't like the long twos, but, like, Bryce is pretty damn good at them.
He is.
Like, his shot chart, I mean, the ill-advised Hoiberg-Hoiball system shots, he makes a lot of them.
He does.
He does. But whatever. A couple of housekeeping items. I want to give a quick shout-out to Goal Setter Basketball Systems now sponsoring our Thursday night call-in show. We've got a sweet deal for Cyclone fans. You can check it out. I'm going to be posting that on the forums later on today. Also, our 2015 Iowa State football recruiting party is coming up on Wednesday, 2 days from now, at the Keg Stand in West Des Moines, 7 o'clock start. As always, our very special guest will be showing up. This year is no different. It's going to be a fun night. It always is. So, again, that is at the Keg Stand in West Des Moines on Wednesday night. And a little shameless plug, too. Ross Peterson and I will start our 4-7 show on KXNO tonight. The Sports Fanatics. I didn't name it.
You stoked?
Yeah. No, I'm ready to roll. I'm
not nervous.
No. Should I be? Should I be nervous?
You will be a little bit right before you start, though, right? I mean, just like anything.
I don't.
I mean, confident, yes, but nonetheless, it's, you know, guys that are, you know, who do all kinds of things at a high level say you never stop being.
You get a little bit tingly before the light comes on.
You guys will be great, though.
We're looking forward to it. It's been a move that I've wanted to do for a long time, but I didn't want to leave Fanatic. You know, I didn't want to stop doing Cyclone Fanatic. I'm passionate about it. I love working with you guys and Adam Gray and Jason Luch and the Lasers. So, like, it was – when the opportunity came, I was very much – I need to be able to do this with Cyclone Fanatic. I don't want to leave. And everybody was great, and we worked it out. And, yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, this is what I wanted to do, publish Cyclone Fanatic and do this. So hopefully we don't suck, and hopefully we can continue to do this for a while.
I doubt you'll suck.
Yeah.
I hope we don't. We got a lot to talk about with Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The eye gouge. Mm-hmm. I'm going to wear goggles in the studios in case Ross tries to poke my eye out or something like that. What do you think about that, Jared? You've played the ball at the college level. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, but you might get hit in the face once in a while. I mean, my first ever college basketball practice, I got my nose broken and got elbowed in the face. So, like, I can attest to the fact...
You played at Simpson, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So I can attest to the fact you'll get hit in the face. You don't get poked in the eye.
He's done it.
Three times. I mean, I'm sorry. You don't...
See, this is interesting to me. Okay. Because I will take the stance, and I truly mean this. I'm like, I almost feel like the fact that he did it again yesterday means that, like, because there was so much attention made the first time. Yeah, I'm like, why would he do it again?
Yeah.
It almost makes me feel like, okay, it really is just something he's doing. He's happened to getting these guys in the eye. But then I talk to players like you, and you guys all have this reaction.
Yeah. I don't know. I've played a lot of basketball. I've never been poked in the eye by someone that was just stationary. So, it's nothing against Woodbury. I've personally never been a big Woodbury fan, even since he was in high school. So
there are a lot of people like that.
Yeah,
you're not alone.
What's weird though is those slow mo gifts that they do. It's clear part of his defensive philosophy is
he's
get
face
that
guarding.
Hand right there and face guard the
he's
guy.
He's being annoying.
Yeah, and that's just
and the guys see that.
Mm-hmm. If that happens,
and he's still it's
if some guys do, like down in Clarinda, and we're all playing at the lead center on Christmas break, and some punk's doing that to you,
I'd laugh at him and drive by him.
Yeah, or you'd probably call timeout and slap him upside the face and be like, don't that's a punk move.
If I was a guy like Frank Kaminsky, I literally would laugh at him. I'd say, what are you even doing, dude? Like,
yeah. So I think that he's just being annoying, and he's happening to get these guys in the face because he has giant fingers, but it still is annoying. I have no problem. I'm kind of like whatever with the eye. But the way Fran McCaffrey reacted to Michael Admire's question, just, what are we, 10 years old?
Yeah.
Are we 10, Fran?
Ask an intelligent question. Come on.
And then I think it was Mike Halas who had Michael's back. And why is that not? And that's why Mike Halas is Sports Writer of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. He's your old colleague, Rob.
Yes, he is.
Love Mike. I don't you think that was Mike who asked that follow-up?
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure, I guess, but.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's always asking good questions either way.
I love Mike. Great stuff. All right, so, again, that's our shameless plug from 4 to 7 tonight. We will have Travis Hines is going to join us live from Norman to preview that game. And then Chad Lestico, who covers the Hawks from the Des Moines Register, is going to join us. We're going to talk about Iowa's win yesterday. And then I'm excited about this. So I'm starting – so we take over the 5 to 6 segment on Mondays with Jess Settles and Jake Sullivan.
Mm.
And this is great for me because it's like two of my heroes when I was a kid. Because I talked about it. I was a Hawk fan when I was a little kid. And Jess Settles was like the guy. You know what I mean? So
for most of your childhood.
Yeah, 6 years. And then when I got to Iowa State, Jake was the guy. And he was like my favorite player. So we're don't tell him this. But I'm going to challenge him to 2-on-2.
Oh, my goodness.
Against me and Ross.
That,
I think we can take him.
You might want to work on your face guarding stuff.
I think we can take him.
You guys might want to get in the gym a little bit, get some shots up first.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, you got to stretch.
Yeah.
Do all that stuff.
Get the shot doctor out.
Yeah, I think we can take him.
Call up Goal Setter.
There you go.
They'll get you a gun.
Jared's learning early.
Just go out there and get out there and shoot.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm convinced that you can take him.
Yeah. I mean, I'll post up Settles.
Need to see some video of this.
Yeah, I'll be there with the camera.
You can come and roll the camera.
Yeah.
We'll do it at like Wells Fargo Arena.
That would be awesome.
Oh, maybe we can get us in Hilton.
Turn it into a charity event of some sort.
We should. This is good. Anywho, all right, so that's coming up tonight, 4 to 7. I hope you tune in. Would really appreciate it. I want to talk about the women. Jared, you were covering – boy, they – statement win. I mean, West Virginia is okay. They're not good, but I watched it on Cyclones TV. I liked how they won. It was just a confident win.
Yeah.
It was never in doubt.
No.
They seemed like they really played with an edge, I thought, on Saturday. Maybe they had missed for the last week or so.
Yeah, I mean, and they rebounded well. They didn't turn the ball over. Those were the two things that had really kind of – that had hurt them in the loss to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Kansas. They just couldn't rebound against anyone. And Coach Fennelly said before the game, you know, they get 28 offensive rebounds in their game before that. That kind of scares you.
Yeah.
And they did about as well as they probably could to stick right with that team rebounding.
Nikki Moody's playing at an all Big 12 level.
Yeah.
Right now.
Like, she's playing at, like, 5 best point guard in the nation type thing.
Yeah. Have you seen, because clearly she got, like, suspended earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is suspended the word if you don't miss exhibition games? I don't know.
I believe that they did use the term suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, so. Suspended indefinitely.
Have you seen a change in her? Clearly, she's scoring the ball leadership-wise. I mean, is she owning that team now?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's what it looks to me.
Pretty much all season that we talked about, there's no one that they can go to in that big situation. Oh, it's Nikki Moody every time. I mean, anytime you need a basket, she'll get it for you.
I mean,
somehow,
I didn't get
whether it's off a pass or a score.
Well, I didn't even get to see it, but I was listening to Bloom on the radio. But that Oklahoma game, I mean, it sounded like she was just taking over there for the last 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, and the way that she can shoot the three now too, oh, I mean, it's over. You know, most of the point guards in the Big 12, you have to guard against her drive. She's so quick, her first step's so quick around people, and then she can get to the rim. She can either score or she can dish it off to Shauna Johnson or Bree Fernstrom or whoever's right there, as long as they can actually catch the pass.
It's a shame that Jada Buckley's out because I know when they recruited Jada how excited they were when they got her. And I know that the dream was we can't wait until Nikki and Jada are together in the backcourt, you know, at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jada was finally coming on.
Yeah.
I that's a shame. I mean, what do you guys think? It's hard. They're a tournament team.
Yeah.
I mean, the women's game is so different. You don't have the large amount of mid-majors and stuff to get in there.
Right.
There's no way, is there?
I don't get left out? I don't see any way they get left out.
They're like a 12 seed.
Yeah, probably. I mean, and the 2 wins over Texas do almost as much as 3 straight losses does. I mean,
yeah. They had to win on that. That was
a must-win.
That's a definition of a must-win.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of their games here from here on out are must-wins. But, I mean, you just got to keep going in and getting the job done at this point and try and get a good seed in the Big 12 tournament. And then if you can win a couple games in the Big 12 tournament, you put yourself into a position where you're not a 10 seed. You're not a 9 seed.
Yeah.
You know, you get to be a person that kind of dictates what happens being the higher seed.
So what do we let's see what we have coming up this week. We get at Texas Tech.
Yeah. That should be a win.
On Wednesday.
That should be a win.
You think that's a win?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State in Stillwater. They can beat Oklahoma State on the road.
Yeah. They should have beat Oklahoma State.
I mean, that they just gave that game away.
Yeah. I mean, they just played – they did not play well at all.
They're playing without their minds.
Yeah.
In that game. Jared's the one who covers the team. I just kind of sit in my house and watch on Cyclones TV. Normally, I like to get the women's games, but the fetus.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be home whenever I can right now.
Absolutely.
Because we're waiting on the fetus. But, Jared, you've done a great job, man.
Thank you.
You enjoying covering the women?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I really like it. I like the fans. I mean, the fans are so passionate about women's basketball.
They're rowdy.
Yeah.
It's a rowdy group. Almost, like, per capita, rowdier than men's fans,
yeah,
in my opinion. Now,
they get into it.
Well, the thing is, they'll have 5,000 people less, and it'll be just as loud in there.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
They feed off of Finley.
It's crazy how I'd never been to a game when a lady that was probably in her 70s or 80s was yelling at Nikki Moody what to do from the first row, like the courtside seats, was yelling at Nikki Moody things to out commands like she was the coach, and I just thought it was hilarious.
You weren't around. Do you remember Wild Bill?
I do.
Have you ever heard of Wild Bill?
I have not.
Wasn't that his name, Wild Bill?
Yeah, they called him Wild Bill.
So there was
flamboyant dresser, kind of.
There was this guy who would sit in the front row at Hilton for like decades, right?
He was there for a long time.
And so he and his wife would buy three seats, and his wife would sit two seats away from him. And Wild Bill's like always like dressed up, and he's this old man, and he'd stand up and like start chants on his own and like boo and hiss at referees and like just, you know, with all due respect, make a jackass of himself.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. No.
I mean, that's
absolutely,
that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
And like his wife sitting there like two seats from him, he's up standing 3 seconds, like just, you know, and everybody could hear him, and his wife's like knitting, like not even paying attention to him. But he, I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, there was a discussion of that a while back. I think he had kind of a
falling out.
Yeah, a little bit. He did make those games interesting. I'm sure if he had to sit close to him, Dave Sproul could.
Dave Sproul wasn't a big fan of him.
That his act wore a little bit thin.
I think this is the next.
He brought the passion.
The next big.
He was a true heckler too. I mean,
yeah.
Old school. I can remember those guys that were designated hecklers at certain places, and if teams went to play, whether it be an NBA team or something, there'd be a guy that was just the guy, mm-hmm, that was going to get on certain players or this, and, you know, so it was kind of an end of an era when Wild Bill was shown the exit or however
it
played out.
The next big Rob Gray feature, I think. Yeah. What happened to
what happened to him?
Where is Wild Bill?
Maybe he's working for Steel Chance.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez. So I got a tip on – did you see that tip we got on Twitter?
I did not see the actual tip.
No.
I saw the
– we got a tip on Twitter. So, allegedly, Steel Jantz towed somebody's truck.
Oh, yes. I did.
At Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
He's towing trucks in Lake Tahoe, allegedly.
Well, I had heard that
Twitter.
That he is operating a business, and perhaps he is operating a towing – business. And of course,
Tahoe's a perfect place for Steel to live.
Well, and I mean, he grew up, you know, in SoCal and Nevada. So, I mean, it would be a perfect place for him. He loves the outdoors, too.
He's an outdoorsman, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and Steel can go out there in the summertime and he's like wakeboard. I feel like he's a wakeboarder. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, he's drinking Red Bull, and I think it's a good spot for Steel to land in.
Yeah. Well, I just hope he's doing well.
We need to investigate that. We need to do a follow-up on that lead we got on Twitter to find Steel Jantz.
Do a search of towing services around Tahoe.
Yes.
And see if one of them
see if one of them has the name Jantz involved.
Yeah. That's a good point. Maybe we could go out there.
You know, it took us 45 minutes, but we did accomplish something. We got onto Wild Bill, and we've made progress in finding Steel Jantz.
It's a good
gentlemen,
day.
It's been a fun podcast.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Good luck.
Jared, do you think Iowa State will win tonight?
I think so. I won't be able to watch, but...
What?
I have an intramural game tonight.
Ooh.
Big game, so...
Big game?
Yeah.
Who you guys got?
Win. I actually have no idea who. We just kind of show up and play.
You guys, are you good?
Well, we won. We doubled up our team we played last week. Guy tried to fight me. It's the third guy in 3 weeks that's tried to fight me. So
are you Adam Woodbury-ing these guys or?
No, he airballed a three, and I guess you can't laugh at people if they airball a three in intramural basketball. So he told me he was gonna knock me out and chased me all over the floor for a while.
Just
so.
Tell this guy to get a life.
Well, I
if
said
he's taking it that seriously.
I said it's intramural basketball, dude. Yeah. Come on.
The refs have to get control of that game.
Well, he shoved me on, like, I was running down the floor, and he chased me down and shoved me out of bounds. So,
that's a flagrant one.
Yeah.
He's got to go.
Two-time intramural champion.
Well, we're hoping to get the
6 feet and under,
get the shirt this year. We got a ringer in Tyler Stevie, so.
Nice.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
What's the rumor that Tyler Stevie, like, made the Iowa State football team? This is a kid from our hometown, by
I think
the way.
This might be a – this might be an off-podcast story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I've been like hearing all these rumors from out of Clorinda that there's a Clorinda boy that made the clones.
This is an off-podcast
okay.
story.
All right. All right. I can respect that. Cool. But, yeah, kick some butt. And if that guy bothers you again, let Rob know.
Okay. Yeah Rob, you're my enforcer.
Rob's the enforcer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just ask Larry Kotler from those media games.
Did you guys used to have media games?
Yeah, we that 3-on-3 tournament that DMAC would hold.
We need to have a 3-on-3 tournament.
We at the Des Moines Register, it might have been a tight game,
like
but
you
we,
and Peter
we punished
said.
We pun- no, we punished KX. Now I know some guys like Mark Emmert, is now off in Maine, great guy, great reporter. I think he was Maine Sports Writer of the Year.
Team Fanatic would be all, we have Jared, yeah,
Josh, some
just
others
block everybody's shots.
Yeah.
Jared's like 7 foot four.
Oh, the wingspan on him is.
He's got the Jameel McKay wingspan.
I'm the Jameel McKay of Central Iowa media.
Yeah,
I would say.
I think you are. I think he's the tall. I mean, well, I don't know though. Is Jess Settles considered? I think Jess Settles.
He's not Central Iowa media though. I mean, he does make appearances, but he's still based in Eastern Iowa.
I don't know. Right. I would say Team Fanatic could take on anyone, any challenger. And put up a good
I would
game.
Think that I would like to challenge us three-on-three, any media outlet out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No.
Challenge them.
Except for maybe ESPN. They might be ringers, but.
No, I'm saying locally.
I saw Walter's jump shot, though, on that Tommy Birch
photo.
Oh,
yeah, that's
true.
I was there, so.
Yeah.
Sweetness.
Yeah. No, it's a little intimidating to go head-to-head with the Godfather.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd do with that. It'd be hard for me to get real physical with the Godfather. Because what if I knocked him out or something, you know? I'd be shunned from the Cyclone Nation. Be a bad deal. All right. Thanks to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Jared, good job. Rob, you the man. And we will this trio of greatness will be back next Monday to recap. Well, we could, just depending on the fetus.
Yes.
But regardless, you guys will be back. And I'll have to teach you how to do a podcast without me. Screw it. I'll come in and hang out. Wife can do all that stuff. So, thanks. We'll talk to you later. Remember, KXNO 4-7 tonight, the big debut. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys in a couple days. So long.